Today's scripture lesson is found in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, and that's found on page 830 of your pew Bibles. Please follow along as I read God's word. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guards and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerity, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we pray that we would have open minds and hearts, and that the scripture would do exactly what it is supposed to do, and that is pierce us, Lord. We acknowledge that we need your help, so we pray for illumination, and we're grateful for the Apostle Paul and for this letter to the Philippians. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's sermon is titled Trail Mix. And the reason why it's titled Trail Mix is because I know you're all familiar with Trail Mix. And some of you probably have some of your favorite parts of the Trail Mix. I think some of us love the cashews. Some of us love that little piece of dried fruit that gets stuck in your tooth. I'm not sure what that is, if it's a cranberry or a raisin or something else. There are sunflower seeds in there, but there are things we love, things we maybe don't love that much. But trail mix is sort of a hodgepodge of a bunch of things. And that reminds me of life. Life is like trail mix. You sort of never know what you're going to get. It's different every day and oftentimes throughout the day. And here in the letter of Philippians, Paul transitions from the first 11 verses that we looked at last week. And all that section of the book was extremely encouraging. A lot of what Paul had to say was very uplifting, and he was just sort of gushing over this church. But then he sort of transitions in this next section. He says in verse 12, "Now I want you to know." It's almost like he's breaking from that original thought, and he's sort of bringing them up to speed on what exactly is going on in his own life. Now, you and I know, and history tells us, that Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. So he's going to sort of bring them up to date on his circumstances. But before we get into the scripture, if there's sort of a summary of what I want you to take away this morning, it would be this. In this life, in the life that you and I live, you will find mixed reviews. You will find mixed reviews, but let your goal be to glorify God in all of your circumstances. So let's look at the Bible in verses 12 and 13. Paul wants us and the church to know that his circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that his imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout all of the whole Praetorium Guard and to everyone else. So I want to encourage you here and tell you this. Like Paul, I want you to glorify God by using what you have to further the gospel. Think about it. Paul was in prison. But here in the Bible, he tells us that his goal was to glorify God. Now, think about Paul being in prison. When you study Roman history, we know that the prisoners were really never left alone. So imagine Paul was chained to another guard for probably 6 or 7 hours at a time. So he was never left alone. Never. There was somebody with Paul all the time. Yet Paul could say that his what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. Well, how was Paul advancing the gospel when he was in prison? Well, God had made such a way that there was always somebody around Paul 24 hours a day. So you can imagine Paul, the great missionary that he was, the great preacher that he was, every time he was around somebody, he would influence them towards Christ. We don't know if all of the jailers became Christians. We know some did, but we know this. We know that they knew why Paul was in jail. It was clear. Paul wasn't a criminal. Paul wasn't a bad guy. So everybody that came in contact with Paul knew why he was in jail. Why was he in jail? He was a prisoner for Jesus. So Paul was influencing people, turning people towards Jesus. Now think about those circumstances. Would it have been easy for Paul to turn his back on Jesus? Would it have been easy for Paul to say, you know what, this isn't worth it. I'm just going to give up on my faith and I'm going to get freed from this scenario. But Paul didn't do that. Paul continued to influence others for Christ. When Paul says, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, there's a really cool Greek word. It just simply means movement forward to an improved state. Or it could mean progression, furtherance, or advancement. So I want you to think about that. What has happened to me has really served to move forward or improve the state of or advance the state of something. So Paul was advancing the ball. Those of you who've maybe played football or are familiar with football. I know everyone here likes football. But I remember an old coach saying, our goal is to advance the ball down the field. Get it closer towards the goal. And what Paul is saying is, as this gospel was going forward, as it is advancing, Paul knew the end goal was to lead people towards Christ. He knew he could not change people's hearts. He knew that was impossible. But he knew that he could tell people about Jesus. And every time he would tell somebody about Jesus, he would further the gospel. He would move the ball down the field. And so that's really, I think, an encouragement for us. No matter what circumstances you're in, no matter what's going on, find a way to advance the gospel. Take the ball and move it down the field. And what I love is that in today's day and age, you can be extremely creative in how you do that. Unfortunately, Paul was bound in prison, and there was one person that he was chained to. But friends, we have access more than ever in the time of human history to advance the gospel. All of us in this room, if you're connected to the internet, you have an unlimited access to influence people for Jesus. So I want to challenge you to get the creative juices flowing on how you could help further the gospel, because this just wasn't Paul's job, it's our job too. Now the next thing in verse 14 we see is this. Now when you start advancing the gospel, and this is sad, I don't want you to be surprised when you find opposition. When you find opposition. Look at verses 15 through 17. Paul says that some, to be sure, are preaching Christ, even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel, and the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress. So Paul names these two groups of people. And Paul says, look, there are these two groups out there. The first group, they preach from what he calls pure motives. Pure motives. So Paul is in prison, and he's getting reports back of people preaching. And he's saying, look, some are preaching out of pure motives. What's going on the outside and what's going on the inside of in the heart of the preacher match up. And what's really sad is if you show me a person that wants to live for Christ Even within the church, sometimes there's opposition. Did you know that Billy Graham, in his prime, had a lot of church denominations fight against him? And why were they fighting against him? Because Billy was trying to spread the gospel, and he was ready and willing to work with any denomination. And there were some Christians that didn't want to see him work with other denominations. But we know that Billy, his heart was in the right place, and he continued to work with any and everybody that would help, what? Further the gospel. That was what Billy Graham was doing. Now, unfortunately, on the other hand, Paul says there are people out there preaching who do not have the good motives. On the other hand, he says they have selfish ambition. When you think about this word selfish ambition and you go back and study what it means self-seeking pursuit of political office by unfair means. It's the opposite of sincerity. So it's almost like they tried to rub it in Paul's face. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? Some believed that he didn't have great motives, and they thought maybe that's why he was in prison, that God was somehow punishing him. So they're out there rubbing it in his face. Look, I'm not in prison, and I'm preaching. But Paul has an incredible, incredible response for them. Paul's attitude was this: I can't control what's going on in the inside. That's not for me. But the Bible tells us that Paul says that he rejoices in the very fact that they are still preaching the word of God. He knows that God will deal with the heart of the person. That's not Paul's business. But what Paul is exceedingly happy about is the fact that they are preaching the word of God. And we have to understand that these people were not preaching a false gospel, because we know that the apostle would have been highly upset. They were actually still preaching the truth, but it was their motives that was the problem. But Paul at the end of the day said, I can't control what's going on in their hearts, but I'm just thankful to God that the message is being furthered. Now, Paul uses some interesting words here. He says that there's envy in their hearts. And we know that envy is another word for jealousy. They're almost cousins. Now, when it comes to envy and jealousy, I'm here to tell you that you don't see the person. You never see the person. You see through the person. Oh, so-and-so pulls up with a new car. You don't see the person. You just see the fact that they got the nice, shiny new car. So-and-so tells you that they have a new job and they got a raise. You don't see the person. What you see is the fact that they have a new house or more money in the bank. But that's the deal with jealousy and envy, you see. You don't see people. You see through the person. You just see material things. And that's what Paul describes these people as here. And listen, envy is all through the Bible. Think of Miriam and Aaron. They were envious or jealous that Moses married someone not of the Israel race. Think of Saul with David. David was very skilled in playing instruments, and he was very jealous of him. So this idea of jealousy and envy is all throughout the Bible. In fact, in the book of James, we read this: Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then peace-loving and considerate. It's full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What powerful words from the book of James for us, unpacking this idea of envy. You know, I find it interesting that James also tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above. So when you see people that are blessed, maybe in a way that you're not, let us stop and understand that the Bible teaches that every good and perfect gift comes from where? Above. In some way, shape, or form, God caused this blessing to happen. So really, when you're envious with a person, you're almost saying, I'm upset with you, God. Now, the next thing Paul talks about is the word strife. He said they're full of envy and strife. Now, all strife is the outward manifestation of envy. We can't see jealousy, can't see envy, but you can see strife because strife is the outworking of those things. And unfortunately, this just doesn't happen in the world. It happens in churches. In fact, those of you who served in the military are very familiar with a term called friendly fire. Friendly fire is when you get out after boot camp and you're in war and you take your guns off of the enemy and you turn them on your so-called friends. You start fighting each other. That's strife. And that's what was happening in the church. And I'm here to tell you that that has no business being in the church. We have enough problems, trust me, out there. We don't need any more problems in here. So let's take our guns off of each other and remember that we have a real enemy out there that seeks to destroy us. But that's what Paul was dealing with 2,000 years ago, and that's what we still deal with today. And then in verse 17, the Bible says this, the former proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition rather than pure motives. We're continually focusing on the second group right now. But Paul says, notice, selfish ambition. What an interesting term. Do you know that term actually means to canvass? And I know what you're thinking because it's what I was thinking when I did the word studies. I thought, how odd. Why would he use the word to canvass? And how does to canvass have anything to do with selfish ambition? And then we dig a little deeper. To canvass, or to crisscross, a land for an election, it means to get your name out there, to campaign. And these people, while Paul was in prison, in shackles, see, their true motives came to surface. Their true motives. That thing called jealousy that we could not see gave birth to something. And he said, just watch what they're doing. They're out there canvassing. They're out there trying to get their name out there. And that's a very different motive than Paul the Apostle. How do I know that? We have a beautiful case here in 1 Corinthians. I can read it to you. It's in 1 Corinthians 3. But one of the big problems that the church was having in Corinth is there were different preachers there, and some of them had some success and converted some people, and those people were baptized. And one of the problems were, as those preachers left, they started forming alliances with those former pastors. So watch this. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes, for you are still fleshly. Why? Because some of you are saying, I am of Paul. And others are saying, I am of Apollos. And are we not mere men? And who is Apollos? And what is Paul, other than servants of Christ? I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God is the one who causes the growth. Now notice Paul's motives there. Think about how easy it would have been for the Apostle Paul to feel good about himself and to take that recognition and run with it. Yeah, that's right, that was me. Mm-hmm. I love that I have that big group over there that almost worships me. That makes me feel good. That's not his attitude at all. He says, listen, let's put the brakes on. I'm a man. Apollos is a man. Sure, we do our own thing, but at the end of the day, it's all because of God. I love that attitude. It's almost as if Paul has a mirror, and he's saying, look, when you look at me, but I'm going to mirror you to Christ. What a different attitude he had than the people here that he's referencing. Now, in conclusion, what is Paul's response? Verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I will rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Let me show you what Paul is saying. It's easier almost to show it. Paul is saying, so what? That's what he's doing. He's saying, so what? As long as they're not preaching a false gospel, they're preaching the truth. He's saying, man, I'm just really glad Christ is being preached. I know that God will deal with those people that have wrong motives. I know that. And I'm really glad that there are people preaching the truth that have good motives. But at the end of the day, is the gospel being furthered? Is the ball being advanced? The answer is yes. And so Paul, in his prison cell, is saying this, I will rejoice. We just sang a great song called God of Grace, God of Glory. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. And then he repeats, grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the living of these days, for the living of these days. Lest we miss thy kingdom's goal, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage. And you know what? This is almost something that Paul would be singing in Philippi. Here in this life that he's living, this trail mix, something that he probably never would have thought of himself would be happening to him. But he finds himself in prison, shackled, sharing the gospel, and he's hearing about all these stories of some people preaching with good motives, with bad motives. And his prayer and our prayer can be this prayer. God, grant us wisdom and grant us courage that we may fail not man nor thee, that we may fail not man nor thee. Let's pray. Father, help us to get on board with furthering the gospel. Our time is limited. We are not promised tomorrow. So like Paul, help us to adopt the attitude to glorify you in whatever circumstance we are in, and that we may join you in furthering the gospel. We're grateful for the opportunity that lies before us, Jesus. And we do pray for the leaders of this church. And by leaders, I don't just mean those that serve on session or technically serve on a board. I mean those that the Spirit is welling up even now to walk down from the sidelines and onto the game and onto the field. Father, we are excited and thrilled for what you have for us here at church. Let us work together in unison as we figure out with wisdom and courage our bag of trail mix. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.